Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Zach Meir, CEO of Lyft Global Ventures. Welcome, Zach. And I guess also we'll take this opportunity to welcome you as Executive Chairman of The Roast.
Very good to be here. I'm reminded why I'm here, because having heard you introduce, I remember that that is something you're obviously still working on.
But absolutely, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I've got to polish it up a bit.
Maybe you've got much better since I've been away. I think, you know, you've obviously been training hard.
It's very good of you. So, I mean, great to have you back on board. Are you a little bit excited?
I think this is the best thing that's happened to me possibly all the year, but given that we've had the pandemic.
It's only 2 months. It's only for the 1st of March.
It's been a pretty poor year so far in so many, many ways.
The 3rd of January bank holiday was quite good. I think that was nice. That was quite a bonus. It is great to be executive chairman, just because it sounds like something you give to somebody old and senior and wise. I'm surprised you haven't called up Colin Bird, because he's executive chairman of everything.
Rolled him out.
He's executive of park benches and statues and ice cream vans, everything. You name it, he's executive chairman.
Three things you mentioned, Zach, at least you're one of them anyway.
So it does imply some kind of seniority, which is obviously been gleaned over the last 35 plus years on the markets in one form or the other. So I'm glad to bring that experience and everything else. I suppose, unfortunately, at the moment, the only experience you have is the last like 24 hours or 48 hours, because it's changing all the time. So Nobody's an expert, but it's, I think we've seen with the market, it's almost gone into, in the small cap area, it's the few stocks that are doing really, really well and probably go up much more than they would have gone in the normal market. Everybody sort of piles into the same things. You get that kind of dam bursting effect. And then everything else is either dead or going down very, very painfully. So, the Russia focused stocks are obviously the ones at the moment. But, people just trying to bet on winners and losers. And you have that massive shift, the same sort of thing we had in March 2020 as well. That was the, where people just scrambling to buy their Ocado and sell their, I'm trying to think of Live Company or whatever it was. And so that kind of schism in the market is quite painful, I think, for people.
How are things going with Lyft? And have you got a vision yet for the company?
The vision is there. And I think what's interesting about the vision there is that we started the vision in the summer. And when you talk to people about 500 times about it, every time you talk to them, it sort of gets polished and polished and polished. And I think now the rough diamond is glistening as if it was sitting in the front window of Boodles. So that is something which is great, and it builds your confidence and it builds your sort of just confidence and your vision of what you're going to do. But the irony of it is that because of the rules, you have a prospectus in place. And also, you can't reveal what you're going to do once you come to market. So that, you've got sort of not one arm tied behind your back, but two. All you can say is that we're in financial, media, and technology. Financial, media, and technology is, I suppose, the general description of what I've been in for the last 35 years. So that's the trading platforms, the financial websites, social media came in, and PR and IR, all those areas that basically the picks and shovels of the stock market. And as we remember from the gold rush, the people who supplied the picks and shovels tended to be the people who did best, or at least most consistently, over that period. And I think whether the FTSE's at 7,300 or 6,300 or 9,300, that is still the case. Corporates need the PR and the IR. And investors need the financial websites and the trading platforms. And that's what Lyft is going to be focused on. Obviously, if there's some other fantastic idea that emerges after we list, then we would look at it. But the plan is ahead of listing to be occupying that space. And that's what we've said we're going to do. But I think the people should try and appreciate that. I think this is a company for all seasons, not just a bull market. And obviously at the moment, we're in the most painful of markets. You can't describe what it is because you have those, you know, that you know, the mini miners are rocketing and the, you know, the other, you know, maybe travel stocks are not, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that the idea is that Lyft is a company for all market conditions. And as I said, the picks and shovels, if you get that concept, I think you'd get what Lyft is. And you'd get the idea that it's, you know, mostly an online focused company, a digital company. Everybody knows how social media has ballooned over the last 5-10 years. Much of, you know, rather than going to an investment seminar, you watch webinars, you listen to podcasts. You know, that's why the Sunday Roast came into being. It was supposed to be the top gear of the stock market with the, you know, with the lads. Obviously, I'm not a lad, but you know, you three are. If Albert was here. And that kind of banter, it's a horrible word now, but that kind of banter and open discussion and detail in terms of analyzing companies, I think, is what people need now. And that's why I'm very happy to have, you know, this is the best, as I said, the best event of 2022 to date.
So is there anything comparable on the market, Zach, to what Lyft's going to be?
I don't think there is. I think we've had, I suppose, the obvious example was Interactive Investor being taken over in the autumn for £1.5 billion by Aberdeen. And I was actually writing for that 20 years ago. And I remember attending a meeting where we were sort of working out what's going to go on the website and stuff like that. For some reason, I managed to divert myself away from the £1.5 billion, which is slightly upsetting. But I think that the good thing now is that it doesn't take 20 years to build a platform, doesn't take 20 years to develop that concept. In the year 2000, people, you know, were just getting to grips with financial websites. Online trading was quite rare. And now all the bits and pieces are there. They're established. People understand valuations. And, you know, it's probably the oldest part of the new economy or the digital economy. So I like that idea that, you know, you're not just, you know, we're not just a company which is getting on the bandwagon of something new and it becomes a boom and bust. You know, there's a NFT boom and then in 2021, then 2022, it collapses. AI was the buzzword before. All these buzzwords have come and gone. But I think the good thing about Lyft is that it's occupying almost the traditional part of the new economy. And the other factor, which is really important now, is the way that even though we're 20 years into this new phase, we're still, you know, a lot of things have not caught up. And I think there's an opportunity, for instance, in you know, PR companies to get away from the monthly lunches for CEOs and helping you with your RNS and whatever they do, to doing something more proactive, I hate using that word, but proactive and detailed and helpful in the way that the roast does. So, you know, I think the roast is a good example of how things have moved on. And, you know, if you look at some of the companies you've talked about, they're some of the few shining lights that we've had over the last quarter or last 6 months. So I think the roast effect is something that I was obviously aware of when we started the, you know, just, you know, in the summer when we did the first, after doing the first few podcasts, became a Sunday event. And I think that's something that it just shows the sort of the new dawn, the new horizon of what the whole space is, how that's going. So it's very much personal, very much human, but has substance, and that helps investors and also helps companies.
Yeah, and it's sort of digital economy, but real economy from a revenue point of view. I mean, give us some background on your experience of PR companies and what you've been doing, even personally yourself. It's very cash generative.
Well, I think the point with the, I mean, if you take a PR company, you know, the ones that you imagine five or six people there, and they have an account executive for, you know, ABC PLC. They charge them, you know, £3,000-4,000 a month or whatever they charge them. help them with their RNS and maybe get them in the paper or whatever they do. But they've got all that overhead that, you know, they're paying salaries and there's partners and all the other stuff that goes on in the office space. And the beauty of, let's just say, taking that as an example, the margins on a company which is just purely digital PR and does everything online by podcasts and, you know, just communicating digitally, you take away all that overhead. So out of the £3,000 a month, you know, the 1500 or 2000 is cost. Whereas if you have a digital PR company, maybe the cost is only £200 or £300 or £500. So those sorts of margins, I think, are something to think about. And that's across the board. Obviously, the difference between a online trading platform or and a stockbroker in his office, again, it's all about margins. The technology has improved margins dramatically, and you can scale up as well. You can service many more clients, whether you're a broker or a PR or whatever other service provider there is. And that is something that I think that if people think about it, they'll realize that they not only have such digital versions of these traditional service providers have much better margins, much greater scalability, and actually much greater reach as well. I mean, you know, the companies, the financial websites that you see now, they have 10,000, 20,000 followers, 30,000 followers. That's a big chunk of the private investor market. I think at any one time there's no more than 100,000 active shared stock market investors. And if you've got 10, 20, 30,000, et cetera, and you get 5,000, 2,000, 3,000 listens on a podcast, that's a massive reach. And in a way, it's much more directed, targeted to an audience than maybe just getting a little snippet in the mail on Sunday, which people may or may not read.
Presumably, you're going to do something which is almost unthinkable. A lot of companies don't achieve it, is to get a cash generative model in an investment and in something that will be bringing funding into the company and actual EBITDA almost from the get-go, where there's not many overheads, as you say, even for the company itself. And it's going to be rewarding the shareholders in the growth of the company, really. Do you see that as being the model you're going to use?
Yes. I mean, I've just thought of it now, and it may not be a perfect analogy, but you know, the new rock and roll in the software businesses is SaaS, you know, software as a service.
Service, yeah.
And that's basically what Lyft will be doing trying to do in its area, in the sense that you have recurring revenue, sticky clients, and with very, very high margins. Because once you have the setup, once you have the database, the following, the social media feed, then you can scale up. And you could do, you know, for the sake of argument, you can have 10 interviews going out on a Twitter feed per day. And there would be 10 clients, each paying, you know, let's say it was 2,000 or 1,000 or whatever it is, whatever figure it is. But you have that sustained revenue, which just keeps on trucking.
And we've seen it with ourselves, Roast PR. The last 30 days, we've had 11,000 listens. So, you know, we have started to have traction, and people are starting to listen to us more, which is great. You know, over the last few months, we've slowly increased the numbers, and we hope that will continue. So we thank you as listeners who are listening to this, because that's helping build the business for all involved. So is there still an opportunity to get involved with this, Zach?
There is still an opportunity to get involved. I think that we value the company very cheaply. It's, you know, the minimum on acquisition is £2 million. We'll have a valuation of 2.8. We're raising 1.7. So, you know, this is not, you know, we're not trying to, raise vast amounts of money, because in tech, you don't need vast amounts of money. The idea is to build a sort of portfolio of companies, maybe actually not more than two or three investments at the moment, two or three related investments, each feeding off the other having synergies with each other and helping each other. And then really it's the revenues will build the business. And I think that if we have revenues from the start or near to the start, as we expect to do, we'll be better than probably two thirds of the companies on the junior market. There'll be revenues there from the start, be recurring revenues, and we will be able to scale up. And from that valuation, hopefully the share price will go up.
Very good.
Yeah, sounds good. And we look forward to working with you again.
Yes, I look forward to introducing the roast. I don't know whether you'll let me now, because I've been away for away for a while. I'm a bit rusty, but maybe we can take it in turns.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That'd be democratic, wouldn't it?
We could maybe get Albert back on for a special edition, you know, and get him to do it with his mic somewhere, get his ropey mic.
It's very disconcerting. It's very disconcerting having no background noise and other stuff like that going on in the background.
But for sure.
It's almost actually makes it more difficult. You know, it's like there's a bit of dead air now and again. With Albert, there's never any dead air.
So if you're interested in the Lyft IPO, please private message us or respond on the Twitter feed as it goes out. Just basically contact us and we'll give you some details and you can see. I mean, the deal is what, Zach? What's the share price going to be and the valuation? And what's the deal? I think there's warrants involved as well, is there, I think.
The IPO price is 3p. There's a 1-for-3 warrant at 6p. So there's a little bit of a kicker there. Raising 1.7 for a valuation of 2.8. And I think that's probably all you need to know. But there's a little bit of a warrant kicker there for people, which would help if the shares get off to a flyer, which obviously I think with that kind of, you know, low valuation, you know, the anything which is, you know, 2-3, you know, under 5 million, I think is you know, does have a chance of trading higher. We will hopefully invest and build the business to accommodate such a rising valuation.
We wish you all the best, and no doubt we'll see you this week in London anyway.
Will do.
Thank you, sir.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.